Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Friday, June 19th, 2026. Sorry for the delay here in the beginning, chat, but yo, good to see everybody. Hope you all have had a great start to your morning. And the weekend begins. Yankees three-game set against the Reds will get going tonight. Of course, the series finale was dropped yesterday, not just because of Camilo Duvall. Borderline comedic timing. First pitch, go-ahead grand slam. Obviously got to put some of the blame on the offense too, duh, but that's a lot of warning track fly balls yesterday. I mean, there were multiple times where Yankee hitters sent a ball 400 feet and it got caught at the warning track. As for an actual loss, I mean, whatever, no big deal. Tim Hill wasn't good either. Tim Hill was pretty damn bad, actually. Two hit-by-pitches, and then they bring in Duvall, and, you know, we'll break down the game a little bit. Go-ahead grand slam. Not going to spend too much time on the series finale, because in the end, the Yankees do indeed take the series victory, but we like to play sound when the Yankees win. You know, when it pisses you off, you got to embrace it. We're going to look it right in the eye. Last night, this is what took place.
Pinch hitter, Andrew Benintendi.
Imagine if Michael Kay did that. I actually had the conclusion of the game in the soundbite as well, but I took it out because the broadcaster was like, "Attaway, baby!" I'm like, relax, bro. Now, I am a fan of the what the White Sox got going, and shout out to the few White Sox fans that do watch us. Now, anyways, you lose last night's game, it's whatever. I do want to shout out Ryan Weathers for a really good outing. 6 1/3, 3 hits, 1 earned run, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts. He looked a lot better. And early on initially, you know, at the solo shot, another homer by Colson Montgomery. All right, here we go, because no home runs have been his problem. Only running lab was that, and Weathers ended up turning in a really good outing. Other things from today's game before we get into the meats and potatoes of today's episode, which indeed will be discussing the possibility of a Luis Arraez trade, because Yankees Twitter has me thinking about it. So we'll get into that. That'll be the main thing about this episode. But also some other notes. Jazz obviously fouled the ball off his nuts. And at first it was very funny. And it still is kind of funny. More so because of the Yankees' reactions in the dugout. Once he left the game, it's like, yo, what? You didn't think that would happen. But obviously he wasn't wearing a cup. Not a lot of guys do. I mean, more so you wear a cup when obviously catchers wear cups. But like, third baseman sometimes. You don't think you have to wear one for a potential injury offensively. Jazz, there's no update on him just yet. Boone said he has nothing yet. I don't know what exactly even to think about with like tonight's game. I can't imagine Jazz would be out of the lineup, but this is like a serious thing. I mean, there are, I guess, there's a world where, you know, you could have, I'm not a doctor, but I guess there could be a serious injury there to Jazz. But nonetheless, no update yet on him. Hope he's all good. Some other things really quick to mention from last night's game. Ryan McMahon, he really just continues to have a very statistically a weird season because, you know, when you look at the first few weeks and we know what it was like, he was not good. But if you take that out and just look at the player that he's been for a little bit now, the overall stats still don't suggest that he's been anything great. I mean, the last 15 games, hitting .257, OBP of .316, slugging .429. And that's actually kind of curious with McMahon because he's always had a good eye and he's starting to hit a little bit, but he hasn't been getting on base. Nonetheless, though, he continues to go to the opposite field with power. And that home run last night, I mean, we said during the watch party, that was, not to bring this guy up, but Juan Soto-West. That is a tough home run to hit over Death Valley in left center field. That was a bomb and tied up the game. I won't group that into what he has given us many instances of this year, which is clutch homers. But even that, third inning, game-tying solo shot. For a lineup that is pretty damn good, last night being an exception, you know, you'll have games like that. With McMahon's defense and seemingly coming through with clutch hits more often than not, it's not too bad. Really not too bad, especially if you take it the first couple weeks of April. Anyway, so one more thing from last night's game. Volpe, I bring this up for two reasons. One, this was very silly. Lines a ball off the wall, and this ball was smoked. Absolutely torched. And the play is right in front of him. He decides to go to third, and he was out by a landslide. I also don't love the slide there. I mean, he could have very much, you know, did a little bit of a swing slide maybe to the right side of third base. And somebody brought up a good point. I saw it was tagged to John Boy. about how Volpe, at least when he's already on base and going to steal, he is wearing a mitt on both hands. Not in that case because he was hitting, obviously, and then he got thrown at a third. But he really never slides head first, which I'm not criticizing him there because a lot of players, and sometimes the Yankees, and we've seen this in the past where, you know, Gleyber Torres got Torres' UCL because he slid head first in AAA way back when. So I'm not saying, you know, slide head first, it is dangerous. But Volpe seemingly never does. And when he's stealing bases, we saw him get thrown out earlier in the game too, he's always sliding feet first. And he doesn't seem to be a great feet first slider. Also, Volpe seemingly has lost a step or two. Now, he never was the fastest. We always heard about his great jumps, which is like so on par with everything about Volpe's prospect profile. It was always, he doesn't have a great arm, but he releases the ball quick. He's not the fastest in the world, but he gets great jumps. He just seems like maybe an average base runner these days. Nonetheless, though, the decision to go to third base, that was silly. Nothing more really to break down than that. I mean, Camilo Vall, the righty splits to lefty splits are insane. You look at the numbers against lefties, which, of course, Andrew Benintendi being a lefty, first pitch grand slam. Let me see the exact numbers here. Versus righties, Camilo Vall, really good, 427 OPS versus lefties, 956 OPS. Lefties have torched him. And it's a shame, yo, because the actual loss, I can get over no problem. I'm really chilling with it. I'm sure most of you guys are too. You know, we're playing great. Two out of three, we won. All good. Duvall was pitching well. Five or six games in a row of looking much better. And it is just a very curious thing. Why Duvall is not good. We know about the fastball, the sinker, the cutter. I guess lacking a put-away pitch. And you would think by now the Yankees would be able to figure it out. And I'm sure they're just as frustrated. Like Matt Blake's probably, you figure, going to work every single day with him. And for a minute, it looked like he was turning things around. And one grand slam, one pitch, doesn't mean all of a sudden Camilo Duvall is going to be an abomination every single time, which for the most part of the season he's been. But for, again, like the last week, he's been all right. Or the last like five or six games entering last night, he was fine. That was really the most frustrating thing about it. It's like, oh, Duvall, you've been pitching well. And then first pitch, rarely will I like be wanting to chuckle at a moment. You know, it actually kind of irritates me. It's like Yanks go down losing, people like tweet laughing emojis. It's like, what's so fucking funny? Last night I did, he's like, how could you not? I mean, I even posted a clip on Yanks Ave, yo, where I'm like, all right, Duvall, what do you got? First pitch. Then you hear Ruku in the background. Duvall serves it up to right field. Like, oh my goodness. Anyways, you lose game one, or not game one, you lose one game. It's all good. Duvall, bounce back next time. If not, we'll continue to have the conversation and we can very well do so just about every time we talk about him, that he's been very disappointing. And one thing I will say about Duvall, outside the obvious, is not a fan of his body language. And he might just be one of those dudes, and maybe even when he's going well, he has the same body language where it's kind of like slumped shoulders a little bit. This is like a life thing, athlete, non-athlete. When like those people that like when something isn't going their way, they have like the woe is me look. Camilo Duvall very much has that. Don't appreciate it. I don't think it's a thing where he doesn't want to be here. I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, when he was with the Giants, it was the same deal. He just kind of seems like maybe one of those dudes. But just like a little side note, I find that very irritating. Like the, yeah, like woe is me look. Hate that shit. Nonetheless, though, Yanks lose a series finale. Let's get into what I really want to talk about today. And I've been seeing this a lot all over Twitter now. Of course, how would this work? And we're referring to a Luis Arraez potential Yankees trade. And I'll tell you, it does have me quite interested. But at first, I, you know, think we have Jazz, and the only way this could possibly take place would be if the Yankees were to deal Jazz, which, here's the thing. With Arraez, he has been absolutely terrific for the Giants. We know the Giants are going to sell. And what's fascinating about this is that Arraez, we know, is usually not a good defensive second baseman, not a good defender anywhere. Well, this year, that's not the case at all. He's been like the best defensive second baseman per outs above average in baseball. One of the best, at least. 10 outs above average. And offensively, we know what his profile is all about. Hits for contact, doesn't strike out a lot, just a 4% K rate this year, which, you know, is freaking unbelievable. 4.1% K rate, and that's very much on par with what he's been. We've seen him win batting titles, but there's always, you know, the discussion of Arraez not really that good, and it actually kind of a lot of times falls into like the Twitter conversation of like Derek Jeter was a bad defender and all this sort of crap, which we know about Jeter was towards the tail end of his career, lost range, and that very much is true. But you know, 15-year-olds that will go off of like retroactive defensive runs saved in Jeter's case and just like be like, Jeter was a horrible defender. And they just think a ground ball to Jeter, he was brutal. That wasn't the case. Jeter lost range. Should he probably have been moved off shortstop towards the tail end of his career? Yes. But it's not a thing where early on, and for the most part of Jeter's tenure at short, where you've seen a ground ball hit there and you'd be like, oh no, Derek Jeter, ground ball, what are we going to do? Close your eyes. Like, no, that's not how it works. But like, people just see something. And the reason I say this is because there's just like Twitter takes, and one of them is that Luis Arraez is, just because he doesn't hit for much power and all he does is hit for a high average, he's like a terrible baseball player. That's one thing. There's like a stigmatism around Luis Arraez. This year, though, you cannot deny that he's been absolutely incredible. 326, he's hitting, 360 on base, 125 WRC+, plus, and with the defense, again, 10 outs above average, 2.9 WAR. The Giants, we know, are going to sell. We know the Yankees have Jazz Chisholm Jr. This only is a conversation because you look at Arraez thinking he could improve your team. Essentially, it would be Arraez over Jazz. Now, there's two different ways this could work. My opinion is the latter that I'll get into, but first one would be, is there a potential deal where Yankees bring in Arraez and Jazz gets shipped out elsewhere? I don't think so. And first thing on that, I want to say, I don't want to trade Jazz. I don't think that would be a good idea. And I think back to 2021 when we traded Jordan Montgomery. Jazz has been playing well lately. This has nothing to do with on-the-field performance per se in terms of him. This is more so a conversation because Arraez has been so great, and the idea of him hitting leadoff would greatly improve this team. Clubhouse chemistry-wise, and just the idea of taking Jazz out of here, I don't think that's the way to go. But that is one possibility. You bring in Arraez, Jazz is part of a trade for maybe a team that is in the mix, contender, possibly has some sort of a pitcher that we want, and it's like, all right, we're bringing in a second baseman, we'll then trade Jazz, get something for him. A team that maybe has a bunch of relievers and is looking to get a better second baseman, improve their offense for the rest of the year, and in turn they can give us, say the Yankees with the Rangers, I don't know, they wanted Kyle Higashioka and they already brought in Arraez, so the Rangers are going for it, they need a second baseman, let's just say, maybe they don't, just an example, you trade Jazz there after bringing in Arraez and we get Kyle Higashioka, something along those lines. I don't think that's the way to go. What I would like the idea of is something we talk about a lot, which is go all in, as much depth as possible. Don't leave anything up to chance besides that it's baseball. And by default, there's a lot of chance involved. But I want overkill is really my point here. And that's where I get into my side of things with Arraez and where I lean into this being a possible good idea. Do I think this is going to happen? Not really, but I will say when you look at the lineup with Luis Arraez, and there's two different lineups I have here because we know bullpen has to be upgraded. The Yankees are also expected to add a right-handed hitting catcher of some sort. Ryan Jeffers makes a lot of sense. We've talked about him at great length. Real quick, a note on Ryan Jeffers. Tanner Swanson was with the Twins and was a big part of the Twins drafting him. And of course, he's our catching coordinator coach right now. And Chris Kirshner had a great article this morning about, or yesterday about, you know, it's a very tough process to incorporate a catcher mid-season because they got to learn the pitching staff. There's a bunch that goes into it. But the fact that there's a history and a rapport between our catching coordinator Tanner Swanson and Ryan Jeffers already can very much aid that process. You guys know I am all in on Ryan Jeffers. And if you're not aware or you're not maybe on board, you will be. Trust me, you want Ryan. I don't think anybody would be disputing that anyways. But anyways, I have two different lineups. One is with Ryan Jeffers. One, though, this right here, the idea of Luis Arraez leading off and what he's done this year, and knowing that you don't have to worry about the defense this year. He's been terrific. This isn't a conversation of wanting to trade Jazz. It's, is this lineup better than the lineup with Jazz at second base? Are the Yankees a better team with Luis Arraez at second instead of Jazz Chisholm Jr. at second base? Yes. And that's how this conversation is created. It's not a thing where I'm looking to trade Jazz. It's not a thing where Jazz hurts the Yankees. No, Jazz helps the Yankees. He's frustrating sometimes. The lows of Jazz are pretty low, but the highs are also very high. And Jazz is a good defensive second baseman. Frustrating. A lot of talent. But more often than not, especially since, you know, the start of May, we've seen a lot more of the player that we saw last year, which is a very good player. One of the better second basemen in baseball. The idea of Luis Arraez leading off, though, again, is why this conversation is being discussed right now. I mean, this lineup right here. And then if we were to get into the idea of going all in, everything else gets checked. And first thing first, like, is obviously bullpen. We know that. We're not removing that conversation because we're talking about Luis Arraez. So preferably in the comments, none of those things where it's like, can he pitch? You can do both. You also can do both Arraez and Ryan Jeffers. First priority, bullpen. Second priority, right-handed hitting catcher. What we're talking about is overkill, going all in, which is very much the theme I want this deadline to be about. Look at this lineup. I mean, this right here. By the way, really quick, the first lineup for those audio only, I have Arraez, Rice, Judge, Bellinger, Stanton, / Goldschmidt, of course. But Arraez, Rice, Judge, Bellinger, Stanton, Grisham, Caballero, McMahon, / Rosario. And then I have Austin Wells with an asterisk next to it. That's if the Yankees don't acquire Ryan Jeffers. That's for the people listening on podcast. The 1-9 with Ryan Jeffers is on par with the overkill vibe. And this would be incredible. Again, bullpen, that's first priority. Check that box, no doubt about it. If that box isn't checked, we will be having very different conversations about this team and where they're headed after the August 3rd trade deadline. But for now, I'm operating on the assumption the bullpen will be taken care of. And in this world where if the Yankees could possibly acquire Arraez from the Giants, who we know they're going to sell, Arraez is a free agent at year's end. He's currently under a one-year, $12 million deal. This lineup right here of Arraez, Rice, Judge, Bellinger, Stanton / Goldschmidt, Stanton, Grisham, Jeffers batting seventh, McMahon / Rosario, Jose Caballero. I mean, this 1-9 with our pitching staff, an assumably upgraded bullpen via externally and also internally as well with Legrandhe up. Come the playoffs, you only need four starters, so then Weathers and Warren will be in the bullpen. The bench that we have. I mean, think about this. Let's just say, you know, let's go with Goldschmidt's DHing in this game, okay? 1-9 of Arraez, Rice, Judge, Bellinger, Goldschmidt, Grisham, Jeffers, McMahon, Caballero. We would have a bench in the postseason of Giancarlo Stanton, Aimed Rosario, Max Schumann, Austin Wells, and possibly as well George Lombard Jr. And that is why we talk about this. It's not an anti-Jazz thing. Which actually, by the way I just presented it was that you could do both. Although I don't know exactly how that would work. Admittedly, like, I don't know the idea of Jazz just accepting being like a role player or a bench player. Saying it out loud, that's probably not going to happen. So in all likelihood, if the Yankees were to acquire Arraez, Jazz is a part of a deal or something like that. Whether it includes Jeffers, not to the Twins, it wouldn't be like that, but separate deal. Whether this lineup includes Jeffers or not, just talking again, Arraez versus Jazz, that's why we're having this discussion. The Yankees are a better team with Luis Arraez than they are with Jazz. Because what Arraez has done this year is incredible, particularly because of the defense. Not only is it league average, it's way better than that. 10 outs above average at second base, and this dude's hitting .326, 125 WRC plus, a 4% K rate. So if you're a big Jazz fan, I understand. I'm not a Jazz hater by any means. I like Jazz a lot. We also know in all likelihood, the Yankees aren't going to be re-signing him in free agency. At most, qualifying offer, maybe Jazz accepts, try to build on his value. Likely not, though, because you're looking at him as the second best free agent on the market, really. Probably the top position player on the market come free agency. So I don't think Jazz has a long-term future here. Arraez would make the Yankees better right now. Jazz, you're likely not bringing him back. So how would this work? You make the trade for Arraez. All right, that means you have multiple second basemen. Jazz could be a part of a deal for, let's say the Yankees don't get Ryan Jeffers and they want to get Kyle Higashioka. Maybe the Rangers need a second baseman. But it'd be Arraez in, Jazz out in a separate deal. Or is there a world where you do keep both? And instead of Jazz being a role player, it could be Jazz moves back to third. I don't think they want to do that. I don't want to do that. The lineup will be more than good enough to where, knowing how clutch McMahon is and that he's not a total incompetent at bat, I want his defense at third base. And in fairness, Jazz was not bad at third base at all. He was actually pretty decent, especially for a guy just thrown in the position. But in all likelihood, I think if this were to ever go down, this deadline, it'd be Jazz is out, Arraez is in. And the idea of that, I am very much down for, because this lineup, and if we're going all in overkill, which the expectation is that the Yankees will acquire a right-hand hitting catcher. This lineup, Arise, Rice, Judge, Bellinger, Stanton, Grisham, Jeffers, McMahon, Caballero, speaks for itself. Then with our starting rotation in October, a bullpen again that you assume is going to be upgraded, and that's first and foremost. This is everything that I want. The idea of this is everything that I want. Take all external factors a chance, besides the fact that it's baseball, and with default, there is a lot of chance involved. But this is what the Dodgers would do. This is the definition of going all in. This 1-9 with our pitching rotation, with the bullpen that you like to think better be upgraded. And it will. So that's where I'm at with Luis Arraez. Do I think it's going to happen? Well, what do I know? Probably not. But it's such an obvious upgrade. As much as I do like Jazz, and he does get overhated at times, maybe even by myself, but there's also times where Jazz does piss me off. Sometimes with not speaking to the media, which is very rare. It's not all the time. It's really few instances. Last year against Boston, back turn after not playing. Like, again, I don't think there's a world where you have both. I don't know how Jazz would be able to handle that, unfortunately, unless he was playing third base, but I don't think that's the way to go. So to bring it all home to how I feel about this, to make it very clear without all this rambling, Luis Arraez at second base or Jazz Chisholm Jr. at second base, which one's a better Yankee team? The team with Luis Arraez at second base. So I am down for this, and it gets me quite excited, the possibility of it. Deadline's still a month and a half away. We know the Giants are going to be heavy sellers. People have also talked about Matt Chapman. I don't think they're looking to bring in that money. Rentals are really much the way to go here because of a potential lockout next year. Now, obviously, you know, if there is a lockout, the players aren't getting paid by the Yanks, but more so what you would be giving up for multiple years of control is greater than, like, same with Adley Rutschman. You know, like, a lot of people have talked about getting Adley. I don't think that's impossible, but I don't think that would happen because while the Orioles would, I believe, trade him to us given the right deal for us to get Adley is different than the regular market value to get Adley. And with that, you're giving up extra for what is a year and a half's worth of control, and that year next year may not exist. Jeffers, rental, no problem. Arise, rental, no problem. My ideal deadline here is bullpen, obviously, Ryan Jeffers, and if we want to go all in, which is everything we've talked about, overkill, don't leave it up to chance, Luis Arraez as well. And with that, that would likely mean Jazz is shipped out. So I am very much all in on this idea. Again, one more time, this lineup, the overkill lineup, Luis Arraez, Ben Rice, Aaron Judge, Cody Bellinger, Giancarlo Stanton slash Goldschmidt, Grisham, Jeffers, McMahon, Caballero. It kind of speaks for itself. And I'm trying to think potential pushback on this idea, what it would be. It's, why are we looking to get rid of Jazz? We're not. We're not looking to get rid of Jazz at all. We're looking to field the best team possible, and Arraez would make this a better team than it does with Jazz. Other pushback may be, oh, that's never going to happen. Okay, whatever. Fine. Never going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing's good ever going to happen. We're all going to die. No. I'm on board with this. So it's an idea. Yankees Twitter, as I'm discussing it, and for a minute I was like thinking, like, I don't know exactly how that would work. And the reason is, you have Jazz Chisholm Jr. at second base. He's one of the better second basemen in baseball. And he's been much better since the start of May. So again, this isn't a Jazz thing. This is an Arraez thing. What are the pushback could there possibly be? I'm going to pull up the chat. Let me pull up the chat. Tell me why this wouldn't make sense. Not that, oh, it's just not going to happen. I want to know possibly why. So Shay's asking, what's Arraez's defense like? He's been normally not a great defender. This year he's been terrific. 10 outs above average at second base. He's been terrific defensively at second base. So that's not a concern. Other side of it, who besides Jazz in this scenario would be moving prospects slash 40 man? That I wouldn't be too concerned about because everybody besides Lombard and LeGrand, hey, should be on the table. And Arraez is just a rental. So it wouldn't be an insane deal. Yankees would have to get back to San Francisco. I don't think the return would be anything that we as fans would stress about. It doesn't mean it'd be a light deal. You'd have to give it proper value. And it would be, you know, a worthwhile return for the Giants. But this is nothing like no Lombard, no LeGrand. Hey, I don't even think, like, Elmer Rodriguez would be involved in this, per se. But anybody besides those two, LeGron, Hay, and Lombard, I'm willing to have that conversation. So I don't worry about the prospect return going back. But it's a fair question for sure. Let's see here. Yeah, I mean, I agree. Acev says Arraez would be the Yankees' first true leadoff hitter in a long time. In terms of like a traditional leadoff hitter, absolutely. Listen, I like Grisham a lot, but the idea of him starting or hitting six with Arraez leading off, I mean, this would be their best leadoff hitter, true leadoff hitter since DJ LeMahieu in 2019. So I think this is a very much a great idea. Ryan says, I think you'd have to ship Jazz out in this scenario. Who wouldn't be able to handle getting put on the bench? I agree. If Jazz and Arraez were to be on the same team together, it would have to be Jazz is playing third base, and I don't think that's happening. Now, obviously, like Arraez has played some third base in his career, but I'm good off that. He's been great at second base this year. If Arraez is in, he's playing second base. So I think you're absolutely right on that, that it would be Jazz is out. With Arraez in, that makes us a better team. Anyways, we'll leave it there. It's just a thought. Yankees Twitter was talking about it, and I was like, you know what? Let's talk about that this morning because it is at least very interesting, and I think it would make us a better team. Yankees versus Reds tonight. Three-game set in the Bronx. Reds enter play 35-38, which is last place in the American League. Oh, no, the National League Central, excuse me. And, yeah, three-game set. The Reds have been not good. They've been scuffling a lot as of late. Early on in the season, they were off to a great start. They've very much come back down to earth, even, like, past that. They were supposed to be better than they've been. They're under 500, 35-38. Their offense has been, like, for a bit, middle of the pack, but now it's more so towards the bottom of the league, like 17th to like 20th in baseball. Their pitching has not been good, although Sunday will be a great pitching matchup between Burns and Cole. Chase Burns, who we know made his debut against us last year, and we ended up tagging him for three runs. And I say tagging because the first five or six hitters, he was like insane against us, like, uh-oh. And it was well during the June swoon, like, we ain't going to hit him. We ended up getting to him a little bit. But anyways, this year he's been absolutely incredible. 8-1, 2.01 ERA, and we'll have Cole going on Sunday. So Burns versus Cole on Sunday, but tonight you got the right-hander Brett Lauder, who's 3-3 with a 4.6 versus Cam Schlittler, 7-3, 1.82. Game two, Saturday, Andrew Abbott, lefty, who's one of the better, more solid lefties in the game, but we know we're the best team in baseball against lefties, versus Will Warren, 7-1, 3.47 ERA. And then, yeah, Burns versus Cole on Sunday. So game one tonight, right-hander Lauder versus Schlittler. Game two, left-hander Abbott versus Warren. Game three, right-hander Chase Burns versus Garrett Cole. Three-game set in the Bronx. This is a series Yankees absolutely should win. Obviously, it's baseball. Anything can happen. Minimum should be 2 out of 3. The Reds are struggling lately. Their pitching outside of Burns has not been good. And, you know, we're throwing Cam in this series. We're throwing Cole in this series. Will Warren's been scuffing a little bit lately, but his scuffling is still keeping us in the game. It's been like 4 1/3, 2 runs, 5 innings, 3 runs. He's been great this season. So we have the advantage in all aspects here. Yankees versus Reds, 3-game set in the Bronx. Now, I know I initially said we weren't going to have a watch party tonight. I'm going to try to make that happen. I think we might be live tonight. I'll keep you guys posted. But at the very least, we'll be live Sunday for the series finale. That I know for a fact. Anyways, that's going to do it for this episode. Let me know what you guys think about everything we talked about today. The main point being Luis Arraez. Again, I'm just throwing it out there because Yankees Twitter was talking about it, and, you know, at first I was thinking, like, how does this make sense? But you think about it, and it's like, it makes sense because the Yankees would be a better team with Luis Arraez than Jazz. It's not a Jazz thing, it's an Arraez thing. But let me know any pushback, we can talk about it. Appreciate you guys so much. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Morning Yankees Show, another week in the books. And then, yeah, Yankees versus Reds tonight. And, yeah, Morning Show will, of course, be back on Monday. We're live Monday through Friday, every morning during the weekdays here on the YouTube channel. Available on podcast. Click like in the stream if you do not mind. It does help out a great deal. If you guys click like really quick, subscribe if you are new, and maybe we'll see you tonight for a watch party. I'm going to try to make that happen. At the very least, next time I'll see you would be Sunday then, if we don't tonight. But have a great rest of your day. Happy Friday. Happy Juneteenth, of course. And yeah, love you guys so much. See you guys next time. Let's go, Yanks.